Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow. Usually we're going to talk hockey. Is Chaser here?
Nurse?
Higgy's here.
Higgy's here.
Higgy wants to...
About the Metropolitan Division.
It was the opportunity to play it because, obviously, at 9 o'clock, it'll be too late. We haven't heard this in a while, so I thought it'd be
endless summer night, sir.
Okay, about time we heard it again.
But we're excited for Blues hockey.
I saw him at River City.
Richard Marks?
Blues?
A lot of couples in their 50s and 60s there.
Really?
How was Richard Marks?
He was, I'm a big Richard Marks fan, so I enjoyed his music. And he played all the hits.
Your favorite song?
This
Hold
one.
Hold On to the Nights. I think Hold On to the Nights, Doug.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Can you pull Hold On to the Nights?
There's one on that album that had a nice guitar lick to it, too.
That was Hendrix.
It wasn't as mellow as a lot of Richard Marks songs.
What are his other hits?
I like
it
his
don't
music.
Mean
I
mean, it don't mean nothing. Right Here Waiting for You, Doug. That's another classic. God, what was that, like 92?
I don't know the years, Tim.
Play that also.
Boy, Edmonds was right. You know everything. And I'm serious about that. You can name five songs from that album. I can't name two. And I'm a big fan.
Okay.
Well, I just don't remember the names of the
don't
songs.
Don't mean nothing. Here, take a listen to this. This will bring you back. It will.
Maybe this is from River City.
Listen to the crowd.
Yeah, this is at the producer Joe Timberfake bout 2001. And I believe the song's about him meeting somebody on a beach and banging her, but you would never get that based on the romantic melody. Take a listen to it.
Just when I believe, I couldn't ever want for more.
That is a harpsichord.
Might be an oboe.
That's not an oboe.
Liquor stick?
Guess what his net worth is, Doug?
$5 million.
$25 million? $18 million. Pretty good.
He's written a lot of songs for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Now and Forever is one of my favorites.
Wonderful. Paul Packer. What does that mean? Won't you let me shelter you?
Take care of you. Well, if he's on a beach.
So it's kind of a sugar daddy type deal? Like this is like a girl next door party?
It could be on the beach in a storm.
Storm's rolling.
And so he looks for some bamboo and some foliage to make a shelter.
Let me shelter you.
Yeah,
some brush.
Can I request something? Just to see if it's the song I was thinking of? Plowsy, Should Have Known Better. I think that's the song I was thinking of.
Yeah, that was fast-paced. That kind of reminded me of Glenn Frey's stuff in the 80s when he left the Eagle.
It seems like it's music to open a vein by.
To commit suicide?
I mean, when you hear it.
Maybe not.
I think this is it.
Oh, it's the same song.
Well, at least there's a guitar in this one. I think it gets right here, a little
thing. Again, that's the oboe.
There you go.
This is sick. When I was in Vegas last week, I saw this gloves. Be on that MDMA.
Sounds like Billy Don't Lose That Number. Doesn't that have
a studio film?
What a Rick Springfield feel to it.
Billy Don't Lose That Number.
But yet it's Richard Marks.
Rick Springfield in town next Saturday.
You going to that one?
With Loverboy and who's the guy that's saying
that song?
Tommy Tutone.
He had one hit.
Yeah, so what does he do?
He's going to sing that times. He's going to sing that song for like 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doug, you like this one?
Yeah, this is not bad. Doesn't it make you want to put on your leggings and just dance till you work up a nice sweat?
Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah.
All right, what about Right Here Waiting for You? And I guess this takes me back to high school. God, I want to say, I think it's 92. I'm going to look it up. Doug, was it
I don't have any idea what year it was. I don't know. This was in high school when you were dancing with one of your cute stepfathers.
Cut that off. I'm looking. I'll look it up right here. Right here. Oh my God! Wow!
Wow! Wow! Wow! Wow! Wow! 1989. That was the last time I was off by 3 years.
Boy, that was a big miss.
Mm. All right, here. This is unbelievable. This is right after we got done losing in the finals of the St. Gabriel's basketball tournament. That takes me back.
Boy, what happened there? The refs didn't show up?
We lost by 22. We must have really sucked.
Must have had neutral referees. CYC stepped in and said, you know what, that's enough.
Mm. I got Marx's cell phone. You just want to get him on and talk about his music?
Nah.
Yeah, I do. Try Lana Rose again. I'd rather get them all together and do a trivia contest.
Tommy Two-Tone's net worth is under review, which usually isn't a good sign.
He's waiting till after the waiting for the family arena concert. How much he gets out of that?
So it sounds like he's in a long-distance relationship here. Is that right?
I haven't been paying attention to the lyrics, Tim.
If he sees her next to Never, how can they say forever? If those long-distance relationships work, somebody inevitably is going to get an itch they're going to scratch. And while that really is human biochemistry, it still internally makes the other party feel like trust was violated. And then at the same time, the person who scratched the itch just was acting on natural instincts, but still truly maybe in love.
Okay, let's stop with the scratching.
Think about it.
What if you have someone, a loved one away on business or something, or the military, like a week, or something?
Like if somebody's going to be gone for at least 2 nights, I think it's understood that it's open at that point.
Yeah, who could wait that long?
You want an Iggy story about long distance?
I think we have to say yes to that, don't we?
Los Angeles.
Keep the music under this for me, Pop.
Because it sounds like it's going to be romantic.
No, it was for me.
Okay.
But she was from Los Angeles, did a lot of traveling with ice shows.
With what?
Ice shows.
Ice shows. Disney on Ice.
That Dorothy Hamilton? Hamill?
Hamill.
She had a haircut that Chris didn't like.
Oh, later. She was cute as a button.
Tommy Two-Tone, Tommy Heath, works at the Oregon Electric Company as a computer consultant.
Can we get back to Iggy's romantic story?
Replaced Daryl Porter? Is that right?
You're right, I think.
Yeah.
So this skater, Iggy, what happened?
Well, I thought we were kind of a couple. I would go to the Midwest stops, spend the weekend, find out they did a movie on her, which I found out later. She was banging them two at a time in every city she was at.
Bros and dudes.
Alcoholic, and I didn't know
that.
Do
we have initials?
Well, I'll just tell your name, Ty Babylonia.
Oh, that's who I was going to guess.
Yeah, but she...
You were Ty Babylonia?
That's how I met Stevie Nicks, because her and Stevie Nicks were best friends.
Well, for heaven's sake.
There's a lot of names being dropped.
It's one monster game.
We're going to have to collect these names up. Now, you dated Ty Babylon. You were in... It wasn't...
A long distance.
You were intimate with her.
Yes.
Like digital play.
And I wasn't even in the movie, which pissed me off. You could at least throw a Kenny in there. The whole movie was her coming in and out of beds all over the place and no Kenny.
What was the name of this movie?
The Ty Babylonia story.
Did it run on Hallmark?
It was Hallmark.
It wasn't.
Or Lifetime, one of the two.
It sounds more like Cinemax.
No.
Is that why?
The music has gotten very hot.
And so when she would come to St. Louis, you would meet her at the rink.
That's the first time
or
I met her.
At the hotel, you know what I mean.
We hit it off in St. Louis. That's how I met her. And I remember her getting so... I took her to Charco House. To have a cocktail on the way, me, her, and Randy Gardner on the way
Randy Gardner? The guy that does the stuff from Blackjack, Missouri, the cable network?
No. Randy Gardner was her skating partner. He was gay. And still is gay.
Ty and Randy. I remember them in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Chris Gardner produces We Are Live.
Yes.
No. The writer's block. Thank you, Plowhawk. That was wonderful. Who said we couldn't play right here waiting
so,
for,
Iggy,
you for its entirety?
Based on your bad experience with the love of your life, Ty Babylonia, is this why you're reluctant to give your heart out to a woman these days?
Or certainly to a skater.
No, I don't mind being used nowadays.
Back then,
you use me all you want.
How about back then?
Well, I don't think she was using me. It's just I thought that we were an item, and then I found out she was banging them two at a time for years.
Were you heartbroken?
A little bit.
Did you let her know that you're you were hurt by this?
No.
You didn't reach back out and say, that cut like a knife.
No,
who was that? Stevie Nicks, right? Who was?
Cut like a knife, Brian Adams.
Brian Adams, yeah. Same thing, right?
Well, it kind of ended before that, but then when I saw the movie, I said, well, Jesus, I thought it was, I didn't know she was doing this. Mm. And it was all during that time, too.
Well, let's get her on and work this out.
Yes.
Have you spoken recently?
She's a famous skater.
That's right.
No, she won't talk to me anymore. I still talk to Randy a little bit. But
why won't she talk to you, this mistress of the South Cow?
I don't know.
Well, where did it go south? Like, how did it end naturally?
It might have been in Des Moines.
Yep. Yeah. That's where a lot of relationships end, Doug.
Yeah, that's the Heartbreak Hotel.
Cedar Rapids, Des Moines. Yeah.
You get in the middle of corn country and it's over.
No, she, I don't know if she was offended by this, but I was leaving that morning out of her room. And as I was leaving, I said, do me a favor. Can you sign something for my sister?
For your sister?
My sister wanted an autograph, so.
And that's when she stopped it.
No, well, it kind of ended after that for some reason. Maybe she lost interest. I'm just some dude in St. Louis, and she was all over the place. You saw the movie. She was drinking.
I didn't see the picture.
She was drinking and banging.
What's she doing now?
I don't know.
Well, she's 57 now, and I think it's time that these wounds are healed for good. Let's reach out.
Oh, it's healed. It's healed. I don't care.
Yeah, Martin and Mike Martz kind of worked things out on the show. We ought to have you and Ty Babylonia work things out. Anybody you want to work things out with?
No. She was quite the number.
Uh-oh. She was dating David Brenner.
Yul Brenner.
No, the comedian. He was a good earner. Ty Babylonia's net worth is under review. It's not a good
one. No. Him, her and Tommy Two Tone.
Oh, God.
Those hotel bills have had up on you.
No. Guys, the Plowboy is firing on all cylinders with the drops at the new studio. It's like the great Fred Norris is running around in that body. It's a great compliment there, Plowpacker.
Thanks, buddy.
That comes from the anthracite bumblebee. Doug, you know what it's time for?
No.
The Wheelhouse Picks the Week.
Oh, no. Okay.
Let me get my information sheet.
You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia.
These are the Wheelhouse Downtown Picks of the Week.
I got the best player in the league. I'm looking pretty sweet. Handing the football.
Wheelhouse is the local college football and NFL headquarters in St. Louis. 32-ounce big beers with 30 flavors to choose from and a large from-scratch menu. The best nachos in town, served by an even greater staff. They're easily accessible. Take the 11th Street exit off Highway 40. Contact us and book your watch party at parties@wheelhousestl.com. Now, here are your picks of the week.
Well, Doug, it's unbelievable. Last week, we had some major progress on my end. 5-2.
Oh, yeah.
Undefeated in college. Hit my lock of the week. What was my lock of the week, you ask? Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll give you a little more intel on my theories on the NFL games being, some of them anyway, being fixed. The over on the Colts and Jaguars. Why was it the over on the Colts and Jaguars? Because they were playing in London. The NFL's trying to appeal to the fans in Europe, and so they're going to give them a high-scoring game. So that was the play. Okay? That was my reasoning. I also went undefeated in college. As I said, struggled in the other NFL games, went 1-2. So 5-2, 17-18 on the year, 2-3 in my locks, which really isn't good. Producer Joe went 3-4. Jared from the Wheelhouse went 4-3, and he's undefeated in his locks. So this might be a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy you might want to listen to when it comes to his locks of the week, and he is Jared from the Wheelhouse. He joins us right now. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you so much. These games this weekend do not include a Missouri game, but it does include a game tomorrow, Doug, in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that a lot of people have their eyes on as the Razorbacks have a chance to knock off Nick Saban and roll damn Tide. The number is 14 that Nick Saban's given up on the road in Northwest Arkansas. Doug, how do you see this thing playing out?
The thing Alabama does is they identify the Mike linebacker. They'll get up to the line, they'll say, there's the Mike, there's the Will, there's the Sam. This is what Alabama does like no other club does in college football. And based on their ability to identify the Mike, I'm going to say Bama will cover and beat Arkansas by more than 14.
Well, that's silly. I got boots on the ground at Alabama, and they told me that in practices this week there was a lot of buy-in. So based on that, buy-in is important. I'm going Alabama.
Jared, that's some good intel there. What do you think?
That is good intel, but I'm gonna go against the tide, and I'm actually taking the Razorbacks and the points at home.
I'm with you on that, actually. I'm taking Arkansas and the 14. Doug, Tennessee goes to Texas A&M. How about the job Tennessee has done the last couple of Saturdays? Coming back at home in Knoxville against Florida, and then the thrilling finish between the hedges. This week, they're getting 6.5 points on the road at College Station. How do you see this thing playing out?
It's not worth laughing about, really.
Butch Davis.
It's not really that funny of a matchup. I don't think Georgia's got much, so I'm not that impressed with Tennessee. I didn't like Tennessee's cover two defense. I didn't like their cover nobody defense when Georgia scored late in the game. I'm going to go with A&M with the plus 6.5.
Well, I happen to have a really good source at A&M, and I reached out to that source, and they said they would describe practices this week as feisty. So based on that, I'm going A&M, of course.
Jared?
No sources, but I am taking A&M in the 12th man.
All of us are taking A&M. Producer Joe did as well. I love Texas A&M in this game, which is scary to me. And if this were the NFL, I would therefore take Tennessee. But I'm going to have to go with A&M on this one as well. Florida State is going to Miami. I thought this game was going to get canceled, but I guess they're going to play it. Hurricane Matthew is already north of Miami at this point, so it looks like that's going to be in the clear. Miami and Mark Richt, Doug, they're off to a very nice start. They're giving up 3 at home against the Noles. How do you see it playing out?
Rick likes to say that he's going to spend a lot of time in the film room, which is a damned lie. No one's really looked at film in more than 30 years. They use video, and because of the lack of transparency, I'm not real high on him. And nonetheless, I'm going to pick Miami by with the points over Florida State.
I know a guy who covers Florida State football. And he's been at every practice, and he used the word focus to describe how that. So based on that, I'm going Florida State.
Yeah. Jared, from the wheelhouse.
I like the Hurricanes to cover the 3 points.
I love Miami on this one, too. These are games that I really like. I don't know if I would wager on Alabama-Arkansas, honestly, but I love A&M, and I love Miami, which means congratulations to Tennessee and Florida State. All right, NFL games this week. Doug, you said, man, I really am anxious to watch this Bills and Rams game.
I'm not.
Rams are laying 2.5 at home. The first place, 3-1, Los Angeles Rams. Kevin Demoff has put together a hell of a franchise.
He really hasn't. He really hasn't. My head tells me to pick the Rams, but I hate the franchise so much that I'm going to go ahead and pick the Bills. I don't believe I'll be picking the Rams all season long.
To me, the Rams don't exist, so it's like the Bills are playing no one. So I'm going to pick the Bills.
Jared.
This sounds like it might not be popular, but the Rams have been serving me well, so I'm taking the Rams to cover 2.5.
Wow. I might hurt the wheelhouse's business this weekend, sir.
I'm here to win.
Good for you, sir. I respect that. I am going with the Bills. The Bills, I think, are actually a pretty good team. I mean, I realize they played a Brady-less Patriots last week, but they did beat the Cardinals. I'm not sure how good the Cardinals are, though. I mean, they won last night by 12, but that was against the awful 49ers. I'm going with the Bills in 2.5. Falcons at Broncos -6. Matty Ice is putting up big numbers in the first four games of the season, like it seems like he always does. But this time he goes to Denver. He's getting 6 points, Doug. Your thoughts? Yeah.
This will come down to flare routes, Z-and goes, spot passes, corner routes, hitch and giddy up and go. It'll come down to that kind of thing. That favors the Broncos.
You know, I didn't know that Peyton was still playing for the Broncos. He's until not. Timberfake mentioned it.
Oh.
So apparently he has a source. So I'm going based on the return of Peyton Manning and the Broncos.
Jared.
Broncos defense, tough at home, but I think that Matty Ice is going to be able to beat them deep once or twice and keep it close, so I'm taking the Falcons and the 6 points.
Yeah, I like the 6 points as well. I think that's – I don't necessarily know if I would pick them to win, but choosing giving six or getting six, I'm going to choose getting, and I'll take the Falcons as well. I'm really looking forward to this game, especially since there's talk now of the Giants potentially suspending Odell Beckham Jr. if he has another emotional outburst. I didn't think his emotional outburst on Monday was that bad. But there is talk of that, and they are playing at Green Bay on Sunday night. Doug, the Packers are laying 7.
Yeah, this will be a Packer pinning of the year festival. Packers will win this in a rout.
Packers.
Jared.
I like the Giants to get it together and keep it close.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants in the 7 points, and I expect it to be a super high-scoring game, which leads us to our locks of the week. Doug, you gave us North Dakota State a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have your eye on this weekend in the world of football wagering, sir?
I've got my eye on Oklahoma. They're 11.5-point favorites to beat Texas, and I believe the Red River will run burnt orange with Longhorn entrails.
That's embarrassing. When you want good football, you go to the MAC. So that's where my lock of the week is. You have Kent State at Buffalo, a combined 2-7. So you know it's going to be really, really good football. Right. And when these two teams get together, Doug, you throw the records out the window.
I don't even try to figure it out.
Last 20 times, 10-10. Are you kidding me? These two teams are evenly matched up. But I'm going, it's Buffalo minus one. I'm going to take Kent State because the Golden Flashes are going to make a statement in this one.
Wow, I didn't even think about Kent State this weekend.
I overlooked it.
Jared.
Well, we got the return of Tom Brady coming to us in Cleveland this weekend. Cleveland's 0-4. I know 10 points is a pretty hefty point spread to cover the NFL, but I like the return of Tom Brady, and I think they're going to run away with that one.
Well, I bet a lot of people are going to be on the Patriots. And, Doug, if you're looking for a teaser, may I recommend the Patriots had knocked that number down to 4 and then knocked the over-under on the Giants and Packers down to 41. And I think you can ship all of your assets on that play.
Everything.
But I'm still going with just the straight over of 47 for the Giants and Packers. I think that might be covered midway through the third quarter. That is my lock of the week.
I'd go with Kent State. It's a safer bet.
You think Kent can play. All right, Jared, what's going on at the Wheelhouse this weekend, sir?
Pretty exciting weekend. We actually got Coolio stopping by the building tonight.
You didn't say that's Coolio, right. Did you? Fantastic Voyage.
That's right. I
Gangster's Coolio. Paradise?
That's the one and only.
Wow.
Yep, Gangster's Paradise. And then tomorrow night, I'm not exactly sure who this is, but we got a young rapper by the name of Cap Slap coming into town, and all the kids know him and love him, apparently. That's right, Cap Slap. These names just keep getting more creative.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we got our bottomless brunch mimosas going both Saturday and Sunday. And we got college football all day Saturday and NFL football all day Sunday. So it should be another exciting weekend around the Wheelhouse.
It's always a pony down at that Wheelhouse, Doug. I think you and I need to go down there. And yeah, it might be creepy since I'm now 40 and you're 41.
80.
Right? Just hold hands at the bar
and make it look like we're for them. But we're actually looking at the whores.
I don't want Cap Slap to see me holding your hand.
Jared, best of luck and continued success on these locks of the week, man. 3-0, that's a nice run.
I appreciate it. Hopefully I can stay hot. You guys have a good weekend.
Peace.
Bye.
Here's Jared from the Wheelhouse. The Wheelhouse picks of the week. You can make your picks. Go to InsideSTL.com. Ship it. $25 gift certificate to Wheelhouse.
Real quick, what do you think Coolio's net worth is? A couple of big hits?
Probably
right?
Another under review.
What do you think?
$10 million.
$100,000.
Yeah, he had run into financial problems, which probably explains why he's making an appearance at the Wheelhouse this weekend, if I had to guess. Hey, look who's been sitting through all of this and probably patiently.
No, thrilled to be here.
Kelly Chase is in the Gateway Buick GMC studio. Morning, Chaser.
Morning, boys. How are you? So you guys do this every morning, huh?
Yeah. For 12 years.
3 years. Oh, yeah?
12 magical years.
We can't get real work.
No. Right. I'm kind of getting into the flow of this so far.
You like this?
Yeah, well, I mean, I liked how much I've done.
What do you
so
think
far.
Of the new studios?
I couldn't understand why they were way out here, but I got to be honest with you, they're pretty nice.
They're pretty
sharp.
Nice, aren't they?
Some swagger in here.
Yeah, Scott Gerken and Kevin Russell did a hell of a job building this thing.
They
yeah.
did. So does this mean you come out here every day?
Yeah. No.
Huh?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
It's not that bad of a drive because it's all highway. It isn't too bad, actually.
I picked up on the directions right at what Tim said. You know, you just, I think for you, you just jump on 141.
Was
so,
that right?
No.
Perfect.
So, that's why I might be 15 minutes late, but I actually went east from Long Road and drove about a mile and a half, and it said turn around and go back the other direction and go to 94. So it was my bad.
It takes me almost the same amount of time to get here as it did at the other place.
Yeah, no, this isn't bad at all.
It really isn't
good.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you here, and the reason we have you in, and I am so fired up to see this this film, and I'm going to post the trailer on the TMA fan page, correct?
We can right, do that? Right, we're making an announcement right now. Why don't you make it?
All right, go ahead.
No, I want you to.
All right. Ice Guardians, and you talked about this in studio maybe like, I don't know, 6 months ago, I guess, perhaps.
Yeah.
And people loved when we were talking about it, which is a film that you are... What is your role officially with the film? Because
I was executive producer, not my industry by any means, but I had it was a great learning experience, and it was... And it was an opportunity to kind of listen. If it was anything else or any other part of the game, I think it would have been a little uneasy trying to help out. But I got to executive produce a film. It's a documentary about the role that the tough guys had, and I at first wasn't sure about it because I think that normally what happens in these, and I was part of a couple other ones that went a little bit the direction I didn't want to go. So I stepped back and said, I don't want to be part of this, and not for any other reason other than that's not the story I wanted told.
Yeah.
And so I got to do that this time, and this kid was phenomenal. Adam Scorgi, the producer, he let the players that had the role narrate it, really. And I think that was the key to having, and it's, I mean, it's blowing up in Canada because Canadians, you know, that's their culture, but it's, right. But it's been at the film, Toronto Film Festival, has invited them, you know, us back to be one of the nominees for film of the year. Calgary.
Really? That's nice.
Calgary won, it was the fan ballot movie of the Calgary Film Festival, sold out 3 times. And so it's been good. Edmonton sold out again for theirs. And so we're going to get to premiere it here in St. Louis, so I'm pretty excited about
that. That is outstanding. So it's going to be in St. Louis, and we'll get a chance to see it. And what is the date and location, sir?
So we're going to be at the Pageant, I think, at 10 o'clock. They open the tickets today. They're going to there is a VIP sort of a reception thing we're going to have. At least right now, I know of 2 guys that'll be on stage with that were in the film. Hully was in it. He was fantastic. He was very direct, and it was important. We had behavioral analysts. We had doctors. We had concussion experts. We had fans. We had media. But most importantly, we had guys that played the game and that I think had a pretty insightful look into what we think. And Hully was great, and Dave Semenko, the former Edmonton Oiler babysitter of Wayne Gretzky. So he's coming in for it, and I'm not positive yet, but I know that they have talked to Joe Koser, who was with Detroit. So I'll tell you, it's fun because of the things that we get to do in the entertainment business or get to be around guys that you know are good guys, that are good people that have, I guess, either athletes or entertainers. We're fortunate to see and get to go through a lot of things, but I'm watching the producer and director. And by the way, Adam's done a couple of great films. He did The Culture High, the medical marijuana documentary that had a lot of acclaim up there and was Academy nominated, and as well The Good Son, the Boom Boom Mancini, Dooku Kim documentary where Boom Boom had there was a death in the ring and he followed the 2 families and how it affected their lives after this and how Mancini lost all his endorsements and he did the documentary and Kim's son was born. His wife was pregnant at the time he was born and always thought his father was just working out of the country till he was about 5 or 6 and he was on a playground and he overheard some kids. And so he does the film and talks about the 2 families. And then he flies the family, Kim's family, from Seoul to Youngstown, Ohio, and they meet. And it's a pretty emotional film. So he's done some great work, which is kind of another reason why I turned towards him and said, okay, I'll do this with you. But I was tough on him at first. Like I said to him, you're just going to go tell this story the way you want to tell it anyway, or your perception of what tough guys think or what goes on. And he didn't do that at all. He was very, very good about it. And he's doing Danny Trejo's documentary coming up here as well on The Machete Man.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing the story about he was on death row. And at San Quentin, he was a bank robber. He was a robber. And they would rob places, him and his uncle, with hand grenades and the whole works. And he's doing his documentary right now, too. So very qualified. And he did a fantastic job of this film.
This thing has gotten incredible reviews. And just when you were in studio, you know, whatever it was, 5-6 months ago, talking about it, people are like, I got to see this thing. And so St. Louisans, Doug, will have an opportunity to do so. And when is the, because I'm putting it right now on the fan page and I'm linking the trailer so people get a chance to watch it. When and where is the exact?
November 7th at the Pageant.
All right, November 7th at the Pageant.
And the tickets go on sale, I think, today at 10 o'clock. All so right. pretty exciting. It's funny, there's some great lines in there, but it's funny how, you know, when you're, there was plenty of times where they told me to step back and let us do what we do. And there was times where I would say, hey, I don't want that guy in there. I don't care if he said something in your mind that makes it better. I don't like the character of the guy. And they were great about that kind of stuff, but there were some times in there. But one of the things that they captured that I heard, like there's different messages all throughout, but Brian McGrattan was one guy that, and he just finished his career with Calgary here a year ago and is now playing over in Europe. And he had some issues with substance abuse. So that's one of the things that gets, you know, directed for whatever reason towards, I think, the tough guys at times. And he said in the film, he said, look, he goes, I was 27 years old. I was living my dream. All I ever wanted to do was play in the NHL. And I was 27. I get up in the morning. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror because of the stuff I was doing. And he goes, and I was, you know, drinking and doing drugs. And he goes, but I wasn't drinking and doing drugs because I was a fighter. I was drinking and doing drugs because I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. It had nothing to do with the fact that I was fighting. But I was clean for 7 years. I've been clean for 7 years and I still fight. And it's my role. And guess what? It doesn't make me go do drugs or alcohol, which is one of the perceptions that I think a lot of times people are like, oh, it's such a tough role because you have to think about it all day and you turn towards these other things. Listen, if you have that personality, I don't care if you score goals, you're a checker, or whatever you are, a goaltender, you're going to have those demons. And so there was a lot of those kind of moments that Brett Harvey and Adam Scorgi got in the movie that I thought were phenomenal. And, you know, and again, you know, Dave Semenko, who's coming here, said, hey, listen, it doesn't say on the Stanley Cup, Dave Semenko fighter or Dave Semenko goon. He goes, what the hell's a goon? I don't even know what that means. But it does have my name on there twice. And would I change the way I had to play so that I could score 550 goal seasons? No, not a chance. I won the Stanley Cup playing the way I did, and I don't want to apologize for it. So it's good.
What are your hopes for this documentary? You know, documentaries, some of them catch. It's hard to figure out which one does. So what are you hoping?
Well, this one's had over 2 million hits watching the trailer on Facebook, which is more than any documentary ever in the history of them.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. I don't know that I don't necessarily have any aspirations really for it. Because the first time I watched it, with a group, like, you know, you see it, you watch it, you make notes, you send them back, you go back and forth. They ignore most of my notes, but it was good. It was like, you know, good learning experience. But the first time I watched it, we had a fantasy camp in Saskatoon for Children's Hospital Foundation, and we had about 140 guys there, and 30 of them, of which were former players and current players. And like 5:30, 7 o'clock film, 5:30, I think about it for the first time going, what if these guys think it sucks? And I get anxiety. I'm like, oh my God, like this could be 90 minutes of just crap. The guys go, okay, I already knew that sort of thing. So I went and I sat at the top of the theater with Adam and the movie played. And at the end of the movie, I was extremely satisfied with the movie. Now I'd, you know, watched the full length of where we thought the final cuts were for probably five times. But when the lights come on, I looked around and Derek Dorsett, the place for Vancouver, had tears running down his face. And Brandon Morrow was emotional and Guy Carbonneau, who's never emotional, was emotional. And I was like, okay, at least we didn't waste their time. Right. Yeah. And so when I got on stage for the Q&A with Hall & Oates and Mike Keane and Kelly Buckberger and Garth Butcher, it was entertaining, of course, but it was great that even some of the guys that played said, I never knew you thought like that. And Garth Butcher was hilarious, and he's not in the film, but you want to talk about a guy that gets it. Like, first of all, he's a very bright guy, but he says in there, he says, you know, Drew Remenda, that does the, you know, the Oiler games, color analyst. And, he was doing the Q&A and he asked a couple questions that were really good questions that make you think. And he was just like, he goes, I've been around it my whole life. I'm not a fighting fan, but I just learned a whole bunch in there. I didn't realize that happened. So Garth Butcher goes, Drew, let me explain how it works. He goes, we didn't fight because we were supposed to, or somebody told us to, and that. He goes, or, you know, we had this directive that we had to do it, and the coach pushed it. He goes, we fought because you should. You should fight. He goes, you know why you should? Because when you're walking across the playground and that kid's getting bullied and you watch it three or four times, you step up whether you know the kid or not and you stop the bullying and you step up because you should. He goes, we're going to go to the bar tonight, all us guys, and we're going to have our wives with us and there's a big party and it's open to the public. And he goes, and some big guy might grab your wife's rear end tonight and you're going to stand there and you're going to make a decision. I don't want to fight this big guy, but I should. And he goes, and at the end of the day, Drew, when you're with us, you better fight him tonight. And it was great. It was a great analogy of this basically saying, look at, you know what? We didn't think about it. And for the guys that played, like, we're all friends in here that we know that, you know, how you've been around it. You guys have all been around guys that you go, he's got a great personality. But I get the brush guys are painted with lots of times. You go into a board meeting and they look at you like, okay, if I don't agree with him, is he going to fight me? Or does he have an intelligent thought? Or, you know, we don't chew babies' arms off, and we have families, we have wives, we have intelligent conversations for the most part. And, you know, it's just a way of we had to play in the NHL and the sacrifice to do the only thing we wanted to do our whole lives. But there's some good thought, and it's the objective side of it too. Like the NHL concussion doctor doesn't buy into any of it, and we let him say that in there. But again, you know, let me ask you, you guys all take a guess to take a shot at this. How many? What's the percentage of concussions that are caused by fights in hockey right now in the league in professional hockey? What would you say that?
Oh, I would think it'd be very low. 2 or 3%.
I'm gonna say 5.
I was gonna say 5% too.
Yeah, 2%.
2%, really?
But yet, I was on in Saskatchewan with a guy that's got the biggest following of anybody on a radio, and he said to me, I would have to think it's a third. Now, there's a guy that's an educated, I mean, that hockey guy, and he said, I would say about a third. I'm like, 30% of the guys in the league that get concussions are from fights. So, like, but that's an easy thing to say, is that the fights are causing these concussions because we can remove that part of
right.
it and eliminate the 2%. When the truth is, 98% of them are from collisions. So are we going to stop the collisions? Or like, what direction do we want the game to go? Because when there was way more fighting, I have to believe there was way less concussions. Because
guy wouldn't take another guy into the boards.
I mean, have you ever seen a guy get run over that's a star in a league like Sidney Crosby does? I think about, like, Dave Schultz says in there, and I'm giving a lot of the lines over it, but he goes, do you think Sidney Crosby's protected in the NHL right now? Do you think he'd want to be? Yeah. I mean, do you think he wants to have somebody that, you know, of course he does, right? But the league... And it's our society. It's gone that direction. And listen, I just want you to know, this film is not about whether you think there should or shouldn't be fighting in the league. I can promise you, if you go there thinking that, then you're not getting what this is about. This is what happened already. This it's part of the history of our game since the first game that was ever played, ever. The very first game there was a fight, and so this is not about, you know, whether you think it should come. It's not coming back. But whether it should go back to that or not, it's about what's happened already, about the culture of it and about why guys did it and what players think. And I think if 99% of the players, which is the poll before the last lockout, want to have fighting in the league, don't you think you ought to listen to them?
Yeah. So you say it's not coming back, like it's done.
Well, it's, I mean, our tough guy on the Blues last year had 3 fights.
Yeah,
I mean that's a year a boxer has.
Okay, you think the game might actually be safer if there were fights. That's what you're saying.
I know it would be, but you can't. How do you tell somebody? How do you tell a casual fan that that's the case? They how do you just think about that? Like,
well, it's counterintuitive.
Right. You're trying to explain to somebody that, you know, if I was allowed to make a point once in a while, this would never happen to this guy. I know there's nights when I went home and I especially casual. One of my best friends, she was at the TIFF, the premiere, the big one, and she was in the seats, and she said to me after, she looked at me and she gave me a hug and she said, so my wife, my sister, my kids were all there, and she said, I got to tell you, I hated that you fought. I hated it. I didn't like anything about it. I didn't understand it. And I don't know that I do now, but at least I now have an explanation. Because there were times when and people say, you can't be that proud that you did this to this guy. And I'm like, well, it doesn't bother me. It didn't bother me. Because I felt like if I was doing it, I wasn't. Joel Quenneville once said to me, he goes, I don't understand the role like you understand the role. He played a long time. But he said, I want you to just remember, I'm going to give you the luxury of doing what you do best, managing the game. As long as you don't embarrass me, you, your teammates, or the St. Louis Blues. If you do that, I don't know all of the times when you think it's right or wrong to do what you do. I'll support you. Just don't, you know. So, I mean, you know, there's, to Hully says, I never would have been the same player if Brett Hall and Kelly Chase weren't on the team, or Brett Hall, if Twist and Chase weren't on the team. I just know that I wouldn't be. I know how the game was managed. I just, that's, you know. So, you know, you grabbed a little guy once in a while and you beat the hell out of him, and people were like, well, that was awful. You know, why would you go take advantage of that little guy? But the big guy over there was beating the hell out of Brett, or, you know, one of our skilled guys, Pav, or running at Al, and that's why we did it. And I never went home going, oh, boy, I feel bad because so-and-so got his jaw broke tonight because he, you know, because their whole team wouldn't listen. Mm-hmm. It just, it didn't bother me. And I think that's the thing that the people don't understand. And it's hard to, how the hell do you explain that to somebody? It's hard to.
Especially in the politically correct world we live in.
Right.
It's almost near impossible.
Well, you know,
even if what you're saying is true and makes sense, it doesn't fly today.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know, the thing is, Kat, is like, I don't try and explain it anymore to people. Like, the best way to explain it to my kids when they were young is, Dad, you know, someone said, so-and-so said you were always fighting. You were just a fighter. And I said, no, you know what I did? I just stopped people from bullying Mr. Hall. I used to just say that. I said, no, I you guys are all familiar with anti-bullying campaigns. This is the greatest example of anti-bullying. And you think the best players aren't being bullied right now? They're getting bullied all over the place.
It seems odd to me that people are so worried about concussions in not just hockey, soccer, football, everything. And one of the fastest growing sports is MMA, where the whole point of it is try to inflict brain damage and knock out the opponent. And once you knock him down, you can jump on him and hit him a couple more times while he's unconscious before the ref steps in there. Nobody seems to have a problem with it.
And you know, like concussion, even concussion experts will talk to you about it. Like, we talked about the three deaths that we had instantaneously, or it seemed like compounding in with Bugard, Rippon, and Bielak. And everyone's like, oh, all the fighters, you know, we had, you know, completely different circumstances for each one of them. You know, Bob Probert's was a heart attack. You know, but it doesn't matter. You get lumped and, you know, you get painted with the same brush. But the truth is that if you get knocked out, okay, if you get knocked out from your jaw going up and hitting the light switch, for an example, it's a heck of a lot, sometimes a lot, simpler an explanation about why you're coming back when you do than if you get hit and you get hit in the head and you get a concussion from it, because it's two different things and people don't understand that. But your brain sits up on four points and it comes off those points and hits the inside of your skull and goes back and forth. So imagine putting a golf ball into a bottle and then just, you know, taking the ball and the bottle and throwing it on the wall. Well, the ball is going to hit one end, and that's basically your brain. If it's got half a bottle of water in it, the golf ball hit one end of the bottle, it'll come back and hit the other end of the bottle and then back to the other side and then stop, depending on the velocity, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when there's a collision, and we should be conscious of the concussions and everything. But if you get knocked out, you get hit on the chin, your jawbone goes up and hits the nerve there and you're out. Okay. There's a big difference. Is it better? No, not necessarily better, but it's a lot longer of a process for you to heal for these concussions than when guys are hitting one another. And that's why these linemen are all messed up, because they have one every time they're at impact.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fighting's easy to just take out. But you know, that's not necessarily what's causing a lot of it. And I don't know what the answer is for that part of it, but I got to tell you, this is just an explanation of what's already gone on and why it happened. And you know, maybe there's some honor in it.
Kelly Chase is in studio with us here at the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS. If you want to see the trailer for Ice Guardians, which will have a special premiere on November 7th at the Pageant, it is up on the TMA fan page on Facebook. If you're not a member, just go and join in, and you can see the trailer there. You said, Chaser, that a number of the guys who played in the league the first time they saw it were emotional. What do you think triggered the emotion for them?
I'm a crier, okay? So I can't even tell you. I can't tell you, because I want you to see it. You'll see, okay. I want to know if you are. Like, yeah. I don't want you to expect anything. I just want you to see it and see what you think. Right. Like, honestly, I did tell Adam Scorgi that, you know, I wanted to make his number available so you guys could ask questions that, you know, rather than ask me, because I don't know what, you know, there was times where I don't know what, you know, they were thinking when they did it, but they were creative. And I had some real arguments with one part of it that turned out to be, from what I understand, a big part of what I wanted taken out to what people are like, wow. And I never knew that. So,
what, a part you wanted taken out wound up being a real powerful part of the movie?
Yeah, of course, because, you know, I should have just shut up and just, you know, done, you know, whatever. But this
guy must be very patient, the producer.
Oh,
Adam.
He's unbelievable. And, you know, they should actually do a documentary on him, because his father owned the first strip club in Western Canada out in Kelowna, passed away, and this kid was just, you know, just a kid. And he had to take it over to just kind of like to sell it. But the Hell's Angels tried to take it from him.
Oh, nice.
And what a story. If you sit and listen to this story, yeah,
that sounds like a better movie than the one.
Honest to God, no question. Three-time gold glove boxing champion. And he's like just this great guy. And he's like, oh, my God, I was so nervous. I'm having sit-downs with the Hell's Angels, you know, to try and keep this at least get some money out of this place that my father owned. And he's just he's a fantastic guy. So if you Google Adam Scorgi, or you ever, you know, on looking up some of the stuff he's done some great work. I have made his number. I'm going to make it available to you. So Sweet. If you guys ever want to, I told him we might call him, and he goes, hey, dude, I'm taking my daughter to school. He goes, let me know what time. So, he was patient with us. And you know what's funny? Watching him and the director right now, like, they'll get a call and it'll be like something cool. Like they're a finalist for something, or they're, when they're like high fiving each other and excited. And you're like, well, that's their Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it's fun to watch, because now I'm going through it again with somebody that's, you know, like I'm watching them have success and I'm like, this is pretty neat watching the young guys, you know, have some success. So,
what is the next step? Now that the thing clearly has gained traction in Canada, what will be the next step for the movie? For example, for those who wouldn't get a chance to go to the pageant on November 7th to see it, how will they get a chance to see it? I'm already getting people watching the trailer on the fan page loving it, but asking when and how they'll be able to see it.
At the pageant. Come to the pageant and watch it. And then, you know what I think what happens is, I don't know the industry real well, Tim, to be honest with you, but I think what happens is, what you do is so they've got into like Lund in Sweden, the film festival. They've got into the one in Iceland. They've got into, and from what I understand, they're going to do some theatrical releases down in the U.S. And I want to say AMC is going to put it in, I want to say 10 markets for 1 week showings. And then what happens is you get into, and I believe they are into both Toronto and L.A. for their Academy Award film festivals. And I believe they're, you know, on that doorstep right now. So what'll happen is, once that's done, then they'll have a buyer for it. And then it'll go out.
You know. That's what happened. I mean, it's unrelated, but I don't know if you're familiar with the film. I want to watch it, even though I'm sure it's heartbreaking. The Steve Gleason movie titled Gleason.
Right.
And it went to, I think, Sundance.
Right.
And then people blew up. Exactly. And then it wound up becoming a mainstream release. And so that's what I was wondering.
Wiener was a hit, too. The Anthony Wiener documentary.
Oh, I saw that on Netflix. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I saw it's available.
That thing has made a good amount of money.
I think the big thing is now, too, like, and it wasn't like it was a low budget. It could have been a low budget, but a lot of trouble getting, as you can imagine, trying to get any footage from the league. So they really dinged the kid on what it cost, and so our costs went way up. And but you know what? I know the league's not going to come out and say, boy, are we ever proud of this movie? But I think they're going to be behind closed doors going, man, are we ever proud of this movie?
Yeah.
Because that was important to me. That was what I kept saying to him. I want to show that what happened in the game, but I want to make fair to why it happened, and I also want to respect the game. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for the league, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for and grateful for the, you know, for what I have because of the league. So I wanted to make sure that I was respectful of that, and I think that we've done that. I honestly, you know what? And if they don't like it, you know, I was very honest with it, and I think everybody that's in the film, whether it's, whether it's Wendell Clark, Rick Tockett, Clark Gillies, Dave Schultz, all of those guys have their integrity in place in a lot of, you know, and for a lot of reasons. And I think that when you watch it, Dave Semenko, who's got some great stuff in there, Hully was fantastic. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wish more Brett Halls would have said, I'll do this.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean by that.
There's two things that I would change, and one would be I would put more of the wives' stuff in there because it really is at times unfair to the families. And the second thing I would do is I would have more of the Hulls. But I got to be honest with you, it was tough to get the offensive guys to talk about it because they didn't feel comfortable that they were saying the right thing on behalf of the guys they know that they loved. Chelios was great. There's going to be 45 minutes of footage that's going to come out and be released after that people are going to, that's the best part of it, in my opinion, like listening to some of the stories from Semenko or Wendell Clark or whomever, you know, that told the stories. But I think, there's been some cool things that have happened and I'm on the stage at the end of the premiere, and there was like 30 guys in Toronto that showed up at it. And some of them were like, how come you never asked me? Like, I wanted to be in there. I would have done that. But it was hard after you do 60 some interviews. You're like, well, you know, who do you include? But Wendell Clark's up on stage and Luke Gazdick, who's still playing, and Brian McGrath and Todd Fedoric, myself, Riley Cote. And we're all up on stage and I'm forgetting somebody and whoever it is, I apologize. And we all get our microphones and Luke Gazdick goes, hold on. It's 550 people. It's slammed in there. And he goes, hold on, before we start, like, I can't believe I'm on the same stage as Wendell Clark right now. Can I please just go over and meet him before we start this thing? So here's this big log hugging Wendell Clark on the stage. And Brian McGrath said, hey, hold on a second, kid. I loved Wendell Clark long before you did. And I've never met him. So it was a neat deal that happens, you know, before. And the crowd's all clapping. And so it's been good. It's been fun to watch these guys have success.
The name of the movie is Ice Guardians, and there will be a special premiere here in St. Louis November 7th at the Pageant. Tickets go on sale today at 10 o'clock, and if you want to see the trailer, and I am looking forward to doing so in the commercial break, people are already raving about it as it is. It is up on the TMA fan page. So go to Facebook.com, TMA fan page, and join if you are not currently a member, and you can see the trailer. Kelly Chase, friend of the show and executive producer of Ice Guardians. Maybe you'll be in L.A. In February and holding up an Academy Award chaser.
You know what would be my son, who I'm sure will be bugging you at some point, but he's into video, film, whatever, and it's tough to find a school for him to go to play hockey and be in the arts. Mm-hmm. But he went to the we all the boys came with my wife to the premiere, and they had a riot. And mm-hmm. So I can tell you, I'll be taking a game. If those guys should get nominated for anything, I would take my boys were like pumped. They all got their suits on. They're dialed in. You know, it was really great. It was really neat.
Well, congratulations, man.
I can't wait to see it.
This is so, you know, Chase and I'll talk off air, and he was telling me, I don't know when we were talking, when you're in Toronto or Alberta, whatever the case was, for one of the film festivals, and the reviews this thing is getting, it is just absolutely taking off. And if you are a lover of the game of hockey, this thing will resonate with you. But it sounds like even just for the casual fan, it's something that is appealing just because of the stories and the passion that these guys have for what they did. The film Ice Guardians, check out the trailer on TMA fan page on Facebook, and you can get tickets for the special St. Louis premiere November 7th, the Pageant, at 10 o'clock, starting at 10 o'clock today. Chaser, always great to have you in studio, brother. Thank you so much.
I'm glad that you guys had me in any time. I'm like, actually impressed how, like, first of all, the digs are great. Like, you guys are moved up in the world. I mean, I gotta be honest with you.
I know, this is here.
Oh, my God. Things are changing. And secondly, I don't know, every morning, huh, Kat? Every morning for 12 years?
What is this, breaking news? Well, yeah, I'm here. You know, doesn't matter what
the guys
time.
Say you miss a lot. That I mean, I just...
who says when that? I'm Caruso? On the road doing my other job, uh-huh. I'm not here, and it's probably a better show for it.
I would say, yeah.
Self-ring. Kelly Chase, Ice Guardians, November 7th, the Pageant. Get your tickets starting at 10 o'clock today. Check out the trailer on the fan page on Facebook, TMA fan page. Chaser, thanks so much, brother.
Thanks for having me.
There
guys,
he is,
honestly.
Kelly
thanks
Chase.
For promoting it.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to watch it in the commercial break. Hey, Kay Adams is going to be with us at the 9 o'clock hour talking fantasy football for the week, and plus your emails the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.